Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett-Shiflett. We have two very special guests in our studio today, but before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter, at Alex G. Shiflett. Love to hear from you, and you can check out the pictures of our guest in the studio. All right, we're going to get started today with Dr. Janetta McCalla. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
And you are from
Zyrobotics.
Okay, yes. So just to start, what is Zyrobotics?
Zyrobotics is a company that is focused on developing tools that help children with disabilities. We're focused on learning, and we're a Georgia Tech startup.
Okay. All right. I see here in your notes, you are a serial entrepreneur.
Yes. This is the third company I have. But the other two were on the West Coast in California, and one was focused on defense research type stuff, and the other one was focused on transit and cities. So this is in somewhat a change for me, but a really exciting one.
Okay. So tell us, you've just told us a little bit about your company, but tell us what your company's history is and your mission statement.
Okay. Our mission statement is freedom through technology.
Okay.
And our history is that the initial nugget or start of our IP, intellectual property, came from research that was done by my partner and founder, Dr. Ayanna Howard, who was doing research on robotics and the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came out of that was an I-Corps grant that talked to professors. Focus was on getting professors to think about taking their patents and research into industry. And so part of that came out was, well, if you really want a company, you need to get someone who, a CEO, mm-hmm. who is going to devote themselves full time to that endeavor. And that was me. So we incorporated in 2013, and I've been working it ever since. So that's kind of how we started.
Okay. And what kind of solutions do you provide for children of special needs?
Okay. Basically, what's been happening is everything in the country world industry is moving toward tablets and, you know, iPad or Android type environment where you need to have a lot of dexterity with your hands, a pinch and swipe, you need to be able to move. And so one of the things that we build is what's called a switch, which converts small gesture, pinch and swipe, to broad gestures or very tiny gestures and controls a tablet. And that we call tab access, which allows the tablet to do.
Okay.
And then we move from that to develop things that are focused on children between, say, 4 and 8, and that will engage them. And one of them we call a Zumo, which looks like a stuffed animal, a turtle. And so you hit, it has spots and sensors on it, and you hit it. And when you hit it, it actually converts that to gestures that controls a tablet, an app that's on the tablet. So those are the kind of things that we're building now, plus the apps, educational apps that deal with STEM technology.
Wow, that's very interesting. And how did these products assist the teachers as well?
Well, one of the things that we say is that, one, they have built into them analytics. They monitor what the child is doing. Two, they encourage the child to want to do the math application or learning, reading application of whatever it is. And so it helps the teacher engage the child better, and it also helps the teacher monitor and report on how well, what progress the child has been making as a result of going through using our products.
And it seems like that would also add an element of fun.
Yes. Well,
for the kids.
Our thing is that a child's main focus is to play.
Yes.
And so you need to make things that make learning fun. And kids with disability want to play as well as a regular child. And we also make things that any child will want to use, not just kids that have a limitation.
Okay. So you just told us about Zumo, right?
Yes.
So what, can you name another one?
That we're working on?
Well, that you're working on.
We're working on what's called Zyro, which is a robotic coach. And it's a little coach that has wheels on it. It's about 15 inches high, and it talks and it gestures, and it's used to encourage the child to, as a coach, no, let's try this one. This will be better. Come on, you can do it, that kind of thing. So it has AI feedback. It has mobile capability. And it can talk, and it can blink its eyes and show emotion. So that's what we have, a prototype now that's being used by about 41 kids in a pilot study. And so that's our next product that'll come out.
Wow. It's interesting. Okay. What are the future goals?
Our future goals, we're focusing on finishing building out our STEM education, other apps, and also we want to develop a our software app tied with the robot and tied with Zumo that focuses on programming for kids. So that's where our next, within the next year, year and a half, we hope to come out with.
And
that.
And things are constantly changing.
Yes.
With technology. It's
yes.
Happening very fast.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, you know, right now we talk through Bluetooth, and we have AI algorithms and programs that are used to generate gestures, but we're also looking at other kinds of things. And since we're tied to Dr. Howard's research lab, we also have the advantage of being able to see what she's doing and what, and see if there's any other products or patents that we can acquire as part of the output that she's doing now.
Will you tell us about Dr. Howard's research lab?
Okay, Dr. Howard's research, she's a Motorola full professor at Georgia Tech, and her expertise is in robotics. And she has started out with focusing on like Antarctica, little robots that are networked together. And she's moved over into the health area and focused on doing adaptive processing with robots and adults and children that have limited mobility. So she's working with Emory and with Georgia State professors there, too.
Excellent. What's the best part of your job?
Playing with the robots.
Do you have a favorite robot?
Really, though, the best part of the job is interfacing with people and talking to people and finding out what their needs are and seeing how we can focus more closely and tailor our product better to support the needs of who we're trying to interface with. So I enjoy the interaction, and in this case is something that gives me a good feeling. That's the best part.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a great feeling when you actually see the kids,
yes,
you know, getting excited about,
yes,
learning and,
yes,
just
that's,
enjoying
that's
it.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
We have workshops that we do maybe once or twice a year, and those are really, really fun because the kids don't want to stop. So
they don't want to stop playing that, mm-hmm, and learning. That's good. Anything else you want to tell us about Zyrobotics?
One of the things that we're doing now is we're trying to look at how you convert what we're doing to a larger scale. We are focused on the local community and the Southeast, and we want to take it, you know, countrywide. So,
and is there a specific age group that you focus
on? Yes, we look at between the ages of 4 and 8. That's where we're focused now.
Okay. This is Dr. Michaela. She is the Chief Executive Officer at Zyrobotics. She is responsible for corporate management and implementation of Zyrobotics strategic plans. Dr. Michaela is a serial entrepreneur and has a 35-year executive track record managing technology companies, as well as extensive projects, management experience in high-tech projects with BART, Port of Los Angeles, TRW, NASA, and the U.S. military. Tell our audience how they can get in touch with you or if they want to learn more about Zyrobotics.
Our website is zyrobotics.com. We have a account at Twitter at Zyrobotics, and our phone number is 678-952-9976.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, now I'd like to introduce Mr. Gene Norman. Mr. Norman is a veteran, award-winning broadcast meteorologist. He has worked at CBS 46 in Atlanta, Houston, and Birmingham. He currently represents WeatherCall, a nationwide weather service provider, and he has extensive experience explaining cost-effective methodologies for safety planning to businesses and community groups. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Alex.
Okay. Try to paint a picture for our audience about what you do.
Well, you know, I do lots of different things, Alex. Obviously, when the weather is happening, we're very focused on helping our customers be prepared for the worst kinds of weather. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, we were expecting an outbreak of severe weather in the South. Of course, it was Super Tuesday, so a lot of people were going to be going to vote in some of the states that might be impacted, like Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, and here in Georgia. And so we had done a lot of work to get our Facebook posts up. We made a special video. So we did a lot of things to encourage people to be prepared and get our service. You know, what I do, you say, well, what is it that you do? In addition to representing this service and going out and telling people about it, I also do a lot of public education on weather safety. It's really one of my passions is to let people, to sort of help them understand what they need to do to be ready when the worst kind of weather strikes. And I was fortunate enough to be connected to WeatherCall back in 2008 when I was working in Houston. The company had just started, and they had developed partnerships with television stations in 22 states, primarily in tornado-focused areas like, you know, Arkansas, Oklahoma, those kind of places. But obviously with plans to expand. And when we were in Houston, the way that it works is when your location is in a warning defined by the National Weather Service, you get a phone, text, and email telling you you're in danger. And so with our television partners, it's the meteorologist's voice that they hear when they get those calls. So it was my voice that someone would hear it. In fact, that's what happened on a summer day in August. We had a subscriber who ran a boys' home. He got his weather call telling him from me that he was under tornado warning. Now, when he looked around, you know, it's a kind of a typical day in August, a few clouds, but, you know, what does he know? He's got about 20 kids outside playing, so he doesn't hesitate. He takes them and puts them inside. 5 minutes later, it started raining real hard, and a tree fell on the very spot where those kids were playing.
Oh, my goodness.
And he, you know, called me afterwards. I could tell his voice was trembling a little bit. He was grateful that he had something that would give him the warning he needed. And so it's stories like that that really connect me to this service and to that passion for public safety. Yes, I've, you know, been on television, and that has been a great part of my career to, you know, help people know what to do, help guide them through really, really bad storms like Hurricane Ike in Houston, numerous tornado outbreaks here in Georgia, as well as in Alabama, as well as crippling ice storms. So I've seen and pretty much done it all as far as covering the weather and giving people the information. What I love about what WeatherCall does is it focuses it to your specific location. when people hear that weather threats are coming, well, in general, people have a very personal connection to the weather. I mean, if we had the time, I could ask you, John Ed, and I could ask you, Alex, what was the worst storm you've ever been through? And you'd be able to recall in excruciating detail everything that happened, even though it may have happened years ago. Because when weather strikes, it leaves an impact. It leaves an impact that might last for days, weeks, in some cases years, because you can see it. You can see the destruction. If you're here in Atlanta, you remember that after the tornado hit in 2008, the Westin Hotel windows were all blown out. And they didn't repair those for almost 6-7 years. Now, part of the reason why is because the manufacturer had gone out of business. But still, it was a constant reminder that something bad had happened. Okay? When I first moved to Alabama, I drove through places that had been hit by the 2011 tornadoes. They had not been touched. In other words, no one had ever tried to recreate, reconstruct, nothing. So there was visible reminder. So it's kind of like a scar. It's always there, and it leaves a memory. So weather has an impact, but it also is very personal. Everybody has a connection. And when the weather is striking, they want to know, what's in it for me? Everyone's favorite radio station, right? WIIFM. What's in it for me? How is it going to impact me? And so when we talk a lot of times in the weather, it's very broad. You know, well, there's a watch for 30 counties, or, you know, there's a 30% chance of rain. Well, if you don't see a drop, you think that was a bad forecast. But if you get hit by a tornado, you're going, that was a bad forecast because they only gave us a 30% chance that we got hit. So the ability to focus it into a specific address, GPS located, is critical in times of severe weather to give people the notice they need, the time they need to take quick action. You know, we're just flooded with stories from our subscribers who tell us how that very thing has happened for them. So that's kind of, I know it took a long time to answer your simple question of what is it that you do, but I help forecast the weather. I help to do some of the marketing with our product. You know, being here based in Atlanta, our company, our service rather, is nationwide. So you can go to our website, weathercall.net. That's all one word, weathercall.net. And you can get that service now. And it's an astonishing value at $9.95 per year.
Wow, so that's good.
Yeah. So each of you should go get that when we finish, or I can give you a trial card or something so you can get that. But you should have it, because at your location, up to 3 people can be notified. And so I help to spread the word about that and make people aware of that service, because we have lots of individuals that are impacted. Then we have a business version of this service that we call Weather Call Enterprise. That would help a business save money. And you might be saying, well, how can having a weather alert save you money? Well, imagine you're a manufacturer, or imagine you have a nursing home or an assisted living facility. If you have an emergency situation coming up, you may, in the case of a manufacturer, turn off your operations, put your people in shelter. Well, you only really want to do that when you absolutely have to. Otherwise, you're going to lose what? Money. Mm-hmm. If you're an assisted living facility or a hospital or a nursing home, if you've got to herd 300 people out of their rooms into a place of safety or into a hallway, you're dealing with awareness problems, you're dealing with physical disabilities in some cases, or health issues of some kind. And so you only want to make that decision. You only want to do that when you absolutely have to. So our service gives you that information quickly so that you can make that decision. You see it in the palm of your hand, do, don't do, implement your safety process or don't, with confidence. All right. So we have a service that we call Weather Call for Schools. And that's a great opportunity.
I was getting ready to ask you
about schools. Yeah, because of course schools have the same challenge. You know, you don't want to stop the school day and get everybody into the shelter unless you really have to. The challenge we have, Alex, in our world today, and especially in the United States, is that weather warnings are broad. They're broad and not specific. And so what happens is, and I hear this all the time from people who have weather radios, for example, that thing goes off all the time. It's always going off and I ignore it.
Right.
When I was in Birmingham in March, April, and May, every Friday, we'd sit outside of a drugstore and we'd help people program their weather radios. Great program, great service. And I'd see these things, they'd hand them to me and they'd say, it doesn't work. I turn it upside down, it's corroded because they never took the batteries out. And they wonder why it doesn't work. Or they don't know how to program them. And so the real challenge of being able to use this thing for what they need, I'll even ask them, have you ever tested it? And they say, they look at me, you can test them? So there's a whole lot of education that needs to go on with that. When it comes to the smartphone apps, people say, well, I've got an app, so what do I need this for? Well, the app will still only give you a county warning. When the Weather Service draws a warning, it's a very specific box, for lack of a better word, because that's what they use. It's a polygon. And some of you listening may not have heard the word polygon since ninth grade geometry, but it's a box. It might be a triangle shape or a rectangle shape. And they say, here is where the dangerous part of the storm is. Okay? Great information. The problem is there isn't another service that takes you inside that box and puts you in the box. Now, that box may touch one or more counties. That means that the weather radios, the smartphone apps, the outdoor sirens in the counties that that box touches are set to go off. So that means everybody outside the box is panicking because they think they're in danger when they're not. So the ability to be very specific about that warning is key to how WeatherCall works and why it's so successful. People sometimes feel like, well, I don't mind getting told that information because it makes me aware. Well, if you've got to make critical decisions, you're being overwarned, and therefore you tend to ignore it. Mm-hmm. We just put our service into a large assisted living facility here in the Atlanta area, and he got his first call about 2 days before Christmas. So, and in his case, the warning box was coming toward him, and he was able to make some decisions. And he said, what I loved about this was that I didn't have to stop what I was doing, stare at the TV screen. He's got a TV screen in his office, and try to figure out, what's the weather guy talking about? What are they saying about this storm? He said, I had everything I needed right there in the palm of my hand. In the case of a church we have as a subscriber in Houston, they were dealing with flooding. And he had to make a very critical decision about a function they were about to have that evening. And he told me, look, I got your messages faster than everybody else. And I was able to easily see, is this a threat? Can we continue going? And he said others who also had functions going on decided to cancel theirs, but they were able to keep going because they got the information that told them the threat was over. So they had confidence. And, you know, when you set up to have a big event, if people don't show up or if they think they shouldn't come because of weather issues, and that can be a loss of revenue, that can be a loss of all kinds of things. So that's what I appreciate about our service, is those individual personal stories that connect people to the weather. And so their remembrance of that episode was, I got a phone call, I got a text, I got an email that told me I can take some protective action. So they might have a very different remembrance of that storm than someone else.
So explain the difference between a watch and a warning.
Great. Alex, this is one of the things that is a critical part of every presentation that I make. Because unfortunately, those two words begin with the letter W, mm-hmm. and people throw them around in an interchangeable way. Even when I was working in television, I would sometimes, unfortunately, have to correct news anchors who would toss to me and say, well, Gene, we're under a watch. Well, actually, it's a warning, or vice versa. And I hated having to do that because I didn't want to call out a coworker and make them feel like, you know, they didn't know what was going on. But we unfortunately use that terminology all the time. Well, there are watches and warnings. A watch is a potential for severe weather. For instance, last night, the National Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm watch that included about a dozen or so counties in metro Atlanta and some back in Alabama. And when you look at the map that they draw for a watch, it's kind of like a wide net. So basically, the Weather Service is saying somewhere in this area, we expect there to be severe weather. And in point of fact, if there's severe weather in any one of the boxes that they've drawn, they get a check mark. They've done their job. So, and in fact, there was a tornado in Birmingham, and there was some tree damage in Newton County here in Georgia. So they would say, we did a great job, because we told people that there was going to be danger in this area, and there was, so we score. The average person, though, in the counties that didn't have that weather said, well, you got me all worried for something that didn't happen. So the watch says there's a potential. It's kind of your heads up. It says something is likely to happen in this area in the next couple of hours. It's usually about 6 to 8 hours ahead of when they anticipate the weather occurring. Now, when storms actually develop, then they would issue a warning for three categories of storm. First is a tornado warning. That is, either a tornado has been spotted by a person or it's been detected by radar. And over the last couple of years, detected by radar has become kind of like a little bit of overwarning. However, in the last few years, because of an advance in the radar technology called dual pole radar, They're able to see when debris is being lifted up by the tornado. In those cases, they have more confidence that even if someone doesn't see it, especially at night, or if there's a lot of rain when you can't really see the tornado, if they can see that debris signature, they might have more confidence to issue a tornado warning. And they did that here in Atlanta just a week before Thanksgiving last year. There was a tornado in Fairburn, and it was indicated on the radar by the debris signature. The Weather Service alertly put out the tornado warning, even though no one could see it. And fortunately, because of that warning, lives were saved. And even some Weather Call subscribers got phone calls during that time. We had a demo running at a large hospital facility near there. They got their warning. They were able to get their people to safety. So the tornado warning is one kind of warning. Now, keep in mind, you can have a tornado warning or any kind of warning without a watch first being in effect. The ideal is you put a watch out, then you wait for the storms to form and you put a warning. It's possible, and it happens a lot, that you have a warning where there was no watch. It, you know, hey, it's not a perfect science. We thought it was going to be a day where there'll be just some garden variety thunderstorms. All of a sudden, one of them blows up more than we can expect. This happens a lot in the summertime. The second kind of warning that the Weather Service will put out is a severe thunderstorm warning. This is for storms that have winds over 60 miles an hour and that may be producing hail quarter size or larger. And a lot of people, when they hear the severe thunderstorm warning, they just kind of go, yeah, whatever, it's a thunderstorm. Because it's not the sexy seven-letter word tornado. See, when you hit tornado, you think Dorothy, you think Twister, you think all of those things. But tornadoes come in six different flavors, rated on a scale from 0 to 5. It's called the Enhanced Fujita scale. At the low end of the scale, you might have a tornado that clips the tops of trees. That's a tornado. So is the one that leaves nothing but a slab on a foundation. Which is worse? Obviously, the second one. And so our minds go to the extreme when we hear tornado. But if a tree falls in your house because it was thrown there by 60-mile-an-hour winds, is that better than not having a tornado? No. It's still damage. So my point is that when you hear that there's a severe thunderstorm warning, take that seriously, because you can certainly do some protective things, stay away from the windows and so forth. In this part of the country, you know that when we have thunderstorms, guess what? The power is about to go out. So you, when you hear that severe thunderstorm warning, maybe it's time to turn on alternate power sources, do backups. I have some clients who are, who run computer networks, and they say that part of their protocol is put my backup, you know, start my backup process and get ready to shut down because I might have power surge. I might have something else that will knock me off of my process. Third thing you can do, of course, is move vehicles to safety. Because hail can damage a vehicle. And if you have the opportunity, if you can, put it in a garage or someplace safe. The third kind of warning is a flash flood warning. Now, flash flood warning, while very useful, unfortunately doesn't reach the people it really needs to reach. Flash flooding claims the most lives of any type of severe weather phenomenon, more than tornadoes, more than lightning, more than hurricanes. Why? Because people believe they're invincible. They see water covering a road, and they're in a car, and they think, I can drive through this. Especially if I have a vehicle that's up off the ground, SUV or something. And unfortunately, the people who die in flash flooding die in their cars. So they may never hear that there's a flash flood warning unless they've got an advice or some way to get, or if they've got weather call service, so they can know that there's rising water. If you're in your home, it probably just tells you, don't go out. Or if you live in a low-lying area, you may need to think about getting to higher ground. So those are the three main kinds of warnings. The difference between a watch, something is going to happen, a warning, something is happening right now.
And so your company, Weather Call, that one of the benefits would be you would get a notice directly if you were in danger, let's say, of flooding.
Exactly. If your location was in a flash flood warning zone as defined by the National Weather Service, your phone would ring, you'd be told that, you'd see a picture, you'd see the animating radar, so you could immediately tell which way is this moving, okay? Because, again, sometimes the warnings are drawn, let's say, like a triangle. If you're at the narrow tip of the triangle, the storm is moving toward the wider part of the triangle, right? So, yes, you're in danger, but if the storm is moving away from you, the danger may pass quickly, and that may be good information to know. So it gives you the visual picture, tells you right away what's going on, and gives you that heads up.
Okay, I have to ask, what's the craziest thing you've seen with weather since you've been doing this?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I guess the craziest thing would be times when storms appeared that weren't forecast. I mean, we pride ourselves in the weather community about the ability to reduce false alarms, the ability to more accurately predict hurricane tracks, the ability to adequately project when a tornado was going to strike. You know, on TV, we would always show arrival times, this time, this time, that time. And I guess the times when we've seen a tornado develop, it happened when I was in Birmingham. We thought this storm was going to turn left. It turned right, kind of in an erratic motion. Most storms are erratic. But those are the things that always, you know, stand out for me are the times when we really think we're on top of it, and then something completely different happens. And in that time, you have to be, as a presenter, as a broadcaster, organic. I mean, there's no script for severe weather, okay? I mean, we don't sit down ahead of time and rehearse this. This is live, and we have to react to what we see on that radar. So if we see something on the radar, we need to be able to quickly analyze, interpret, and give some kind of protective direction to the viewer. Because all the viewer sees are blobs. They don't know what any of that stuff means. So to be able to quickly tell somebody and understand it is very, very challenging. So it's the times when things happen that we weren't anticipating that I remember the most.
Okay. And what's the best part of your job with WeatherCom?
Well, I mean, the best part of my job is when I hear back from a customer, and hopefully I'll hear back from some today, who got a call about a storm. The other thing that we monitor for is lightning. And this is critical, obviously, for outdoor activities. So imagine you're at a high school. Very big now in this area, as you may know, is lacrosse. Mm-hmm. I'm very sure you've done some stories, yes. Shows on the booming lacrosse industry here. I don't know how that's happening, but it's awesome. Of course, that means that children are outside carrying what? Metal sticks in their hands. So to know that there's lightning nearby would be critical. So what the best part of my job is hearing from people that I got the information I needed. I took the corrective action. I lived to survive. It sort of echoes the experience I had when I was in television. Many, many times, both in the hurricane in Houston and in various tornado episodes, we heard from people who said, I was watching you. You gave the information I needed to know about. And now I'm here to tell you about it. So that's the best part of my job is knowing that the service we provide, the information we're giving to people is timely, accurate, and impactful.
Well, you have sold me. I'm going to be
okay
getting your service today, actually. Okay. Well, Gene, tell our audience how they can get in touch with you and WeatherCall.
Okay. Well, the best way to get to find out about WeatherCall is weathercall.net. Go to our website. We just revised it. It looks awesome. And it allows you to quickly sign up for our at-home service. We have a mobile version of that, which is called WeatherCall To Go. So it follows, it stays on your phone. And as you're driving around, if you drive into a storm warning, you're told that. It also shows you where lightning is relative to your location. And then, of course, our enterprise service, our business service. So you can get all the information about that there. If you're in the Atlanta area or really anywhere, because I don't really have territories, and you're interested in our business service, give me a call at 770-376-0497. Again, that number is 770-376-0497. And also, if you're interested in having me come to be a speaker now I do those locally. I don't do a lot of traveling speaking, but certainly I'm available to come speak to civic groups, local community organizations, and business associations. I recently spoke to the Association of Contingency Planners, the American Society for Industrial Security. I gave a webinar last week for a supply chain association. So I'm very connected and very plugged into trying to give back in that way by helping people understand some of the risks, what they can do, what some of these terms mean. Because again, the terminology can trip people up. And I'd hate to find out that someone thought that, oh, well, we're under a warning, so we can just relax and take it easy because it's not that serious.
True. Well, thank you so much, Dr. McCalla and Mr. Gene Norman, for being with us today on Business Radio X. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.